Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the one we've all been waiting for. It's good night, freaking Irene!
Let's get ready to rumble!
Time! And those had enough people, the fire truck out!
You know, okay. We're here again with Kevin Ross, the Soul Assassin. Joining us for our second time, the only other guest that we've had is Khalil, a good friend of ours, so for the second time, and you're back again. And for anybody that's going to watch this, this is not necessarily our normal format. We're not going to be going into the history of Kevin Ross. We already did that. We're going to be doing more of current events and how what's going on in the world today. We all have different points of view. I was a traveler. I was training in Thailand. Shit hit the fan. I came back to the States. And now I'm going to be stuck here for a total of almost 2 years before I can go back. Kurt, he opened a business. He has his own Muay Thai gym. Small business owner. What this has affected him. And Kevin, I mean, you're a professional athlete, top of the game, and the game stopped. You know, they closed down the game. So, yeah. So let's just get into it. I mean, Kevin, like, I guess go with like, what was like initially, what did you think when all this started?
Oh man. So the beginning actually, so I went to Thailand in January. And that was right before I did Rogan the second time, which we had already set up. And I was like, well, maybe I should go after because I'm only going to be able to go for 2 weeks. And I wanted to go for a long time, but it already been, you know, I try to go once a year and it already been almost 2 years since I had been back there. So I figured if I'm not going to go now, it's going to just keep getting pushed and pushed and pushed. Just go. It's a short time. It's fine. Just go. And I'm so thankful that I did because this happened right after all that. So I was there for 2 weeks, and I actually got to go to the one championship with Haggerty and Rotang, which was awesome to watch in person. And you know, all this kind of happened right after all that. So I'm glad I got to go before everything got shut down. You know, at the beginning, it seemed to me like everyone was freaking out. There was a lot of misinformation out there, you know, and at that stage it was like people didn't really know, but it seemed like a lot of I don't want to say propaganda, but kind of pushing that like they do. I think they do with a lot of things. It's not to say that things are real or fake. It's to say they're taking something and pushing it on people. Like, you got, like, everything on the news, like, you got to be scared of this, you know, this is, be afraid, not giving us the whole picture and letting people think for themselves, you know, like, give people the information, don't tell them how they should feel about the information. And I think that's where, you know, a lot of news and media has changed over the last, I don't know how long it's been now, at least 20 years or so, where it used to be, give people the information, let them think for themselves and see how they want to move forward from there. But now it's, here's the information, this is how you should feel about it, and we're going to tell you how to feel about it. And it's almost like we don't even think about that anymore. We just go off of what they're telling us to feel, you know. And you know, so I think that, I mean, I stopped watching the news probably 20 years ago, and you know, that I think that changed a lot of my I don't want to say change my perspective, but it definitely helped not have that extra noise and allowed me to see things from kind of the outside.
Yeah.
You know, which I think is important with a lot of things, because when you're in a situation, when you're constantly, even a good situation, you don't have a good perspective on it. You know, we got to take a step back and say, all right, now I can see things a little more clearly, see the whole situation. My dog's ready.
Like, it's all good.
So, you know, it's always good to take a step back, you know. So, like, even with fighting, for me, you know, you do it all the time, you're like, oh, I love this, I want to do this forever, but what do you know if you really want to keep doing it forever, or is it just a habit? So sometimes, you know, take a step back from a situation, then you can see, do I really want to do this, or is it just habitual, is it just, you know, programmed into me? and it gives you a better perspective. And I think that that's what we should be doing with the most things. But when it's like this automatic every day, I'm getting drilled with this news, and it'd be one thing if it was unbiased, you know, and then you could take the information, but you have people who have a certain opinion, a certain objective, but you're still watching it as if it is unbiased, not realizing that it's influencing the way you think, the way you feel, mentally, physically, spiritually, all these things. And, you know, it can be, there's a lot of things like the news and other things in our lives that we don't realize are this automatic programming. And it's good to take a step back once in a while and get a better overall perspective on it. So, you know, when it did start, it just, you know, I kind of always take that into account when there's information. I'm like, okay, well, this is going on, but to what extent, you know, is it the whole world's going to die and everyone's going to start, you know, they're showing people dropping dead in the street and, you know, they're digging mass graves. I was like, all right, it seems like they're intentionally pushing this onto people, not to say that this is going on, but they're making it seem like this is what's happening everywhere, and we just all need to panic. And the more this has gone on, the more it's become apparent that it's not that extreme side of it. And yet, I feel they pushed it so hard, there's people that still are behaving as if that's what it is, and they continually kind of shove this down their throat. And every time people started exposing that, like, hey, look at this, there's no hospitals, there's no lines, there's no this, like, all of a sudden we shift the narrative to something else, you know. As soon as people started, all the whistleblowers started coming out and they couldn't silence them all, they just shift the conversation to something else, you know. It's not like they're like, oh, that's not what's going on, or that's only going on in certain places, which I think is part of the problem, is we're acting as if one thing is everything. Like, certainly, yeah, maybe certain hospitals are overrun, but let's say which ones are, which ones aren't, where is this more of an issue, where is it not? We're painting the whole thing with the same brush, and I think that's caused a lot more harm than good. And, you know, and then it becomes this whole flip-flopping back and forth. Certain people, it starts dividing people. You know, and no one's getting any real information. And then if you even ask a question, you're automatically lumped into the conspiracy theorist side of things. And you know, it's either one or the other, not there's this range in between, you know. Right. It's either the world death plague or it's a total fake hoax. And then, like, you either have to be one or the other, and the way that the media and everything sets it, as opposed to, hey, it can be a little bit of both. It can be a really serious, dangerous thing that we need to be aware of and take care of. But it's also being used to manipulate us, to get us locked down, to get us reliant on certain systems and things like that. So the problem is we can't have conversations anymore. And the more, you know, with the way the world is, the way the social media is, there's no, people aren't talking anymore, people aren't debating anymore, people are just yelling at each other and being forced onto polar opposite sides.
Yeah. And I mean, and the part about that is, like, we're on opposite sides from, you have to believe what I say or you're wrong. And it's like, but I get what you're saying. Like, I understand what you're saying. No. Mm-hmm. You either agree or you're wrong.
Well, and I think that kind of, to me, that always highlights, you know, that alone gives you a lot of information about a situation. It's like, if someone's not willing to talk about it and they go right to "you're wrong," as opposed to, I think every side of most situations has certain elements of right and wrong. And that's, you know, that's, I always use like a court case as an example. I'm like, both sides are saying they're right. And it's not necessarily all one or all the other. There's elements of it, and there's rationalizations of things, there's perspectives of things, and it's important to take all that information into account and then come to a decision. But we live in a world now where it's like we're only letting one side of an argument talk.
We're only
allowing one side of a court case talk. And is that what we really want? But it's like, yeah, but you see what happens over here when they get to talk, and then it just becomes this whole thing, and it gets rationalized and justified, saying, well, yeah, but look what kind of damage that can be done. And this has happened with the virus, with politics, with everything. It's become no conversations anymore. This is the way that it's done because look how bad it is if not. And, you know, that's a very dangerous place to be. Even if that's necessarily like a positive thing, I'm like, okay, let's force everyone to be healthy. Great. That'd be wonderful. But I wouldn't even want that to happen. I wouldn't want people to be told they have to do this. But there's the rationalization, be like, well, you know, this is something that affects people that, you know, aren't doing anything. They don't have a choice. And but we don't think about that when it comes to everything. Everything we do affects everyone, whether it's a virus, whether it's food, entertainment. And like, you get to make choices. You have free will. Those things still affect other people even that aren't doing that. You know, your unhealthy lifestyles put a burden on the economy. Mentality that gets that infects us all. You know, that there's everything that we do affects each and every one of us. It's not just a contagious disease. That's the only thing. And I think that we've lost sight of that. That it's only those kinds of things that affect people, not our free will, not the way we live, the way we think, the things that are promoted in our society, you know, and that get passed off as, well, people have free will and they have a choice to do that. Of course they do, and they should, but those things still affect other people.
Yeah, yeah. Were you in the States or were you in Thailand when, like, it all started to hit the fan?
No, I was in Thailand the first week of I think first or second week of January, and then so I was back. I was back here. I was actually getting ready to head back down to San Diego to pick my train back up, and you know, things were, they were starting to like shut things down, and you know, it's like Gina was like, yeah, maybe we should stay here. Who knows if like they're gonna shut the states down? You know, no one knew what was gonna happen. You know, at that stage, I was like, all right. And I was actually, I thought I was going to be fighting in, I think it was February or March. So, and then, you know, Gina's like, I don't think those fights are going to happen because this was going to be overseas. I'm like, yeah, it's no big deal. And like more and more things were getting shut down, fights were getting shut down, concerts and things. And then, you know, finally it was like, yeah, that's not happening. I was like, fuck.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I know you were ready to get back in there. And like I said, I mean, this is, that's, you know, it's not Kevin Ross, but that's Kevin Ross. That's your, you know, your passion, your career.
Yeah. And I mean, it's so much more than that to me. It's the thing that keeps me healthy and sane and in the right state of mind and physically, mentally, spiritually, all those things. I mean, this is my therapy. It is my thing that keeps me going in the right direction, even without fighting, you know, just the training aspect of it and just doing it every day. You know, I could never fight again. I still do this every day. And when that gets taken away, I think that was a big thing. Nobody really wanted to talk about or did talk about, you know, you're taking all of these things away from people that keep them healthy, that keep them sane, that keep them, give them reasons to live, not to mention their actual jobs and livelihoods and ways of supporting themselves and their families. You start stripping all those things away, we're not taking into account the damage that it's doing. So even if there is this, you know, really horrible disease out there, you still have to take that into consideration. But again, we're only talking about one side of the argument. Like, we have to keep people safe. We have to keep the people locked down. But we're not taking into consideration the damage that that is doing. And again, if you're only talking about one side of the argument, it's easy to focus on that. Yeah, well, stay away from people. You're not going to get sick, obviously. But what is that doing also? Everything comes with a cost. Even being healthy comes with a cost, you know. But if you brought that up, you know, you don't care about people. You right. want everybody to die. I'm like, well, no, but there's something comes with this. You know, if we lock everybody in a padded room, they're technically never going to die in a car wreck. But you know, that comes with a cost. You know, if we force everyone to live like robots, there's certain elements that'll be safe. If we track everyone where everybody goes, there'll be no more kidnappings, there'll be no more crimes, there'll be no this, that, and the other. But that's also to say the people that are doing it don't have an agenda also. You know, it's like when your parents tell you something like, yeah, of course, they want what's best for me. They want me to be healthy, safe, and strong. But they also might be wrong. They might have a different opinion and different, things that they want out of life. And again, that's why we need all the information. And that's the whole thing with being free. We don't have a dictatorship. You know, we don't have we don't just hand our rights over to somebody else to say, you know what's best for me, tell me what I should do and how I should live. But more and more and more, we're becoming this world where people don't want to think for themselves, and they'd rather have somebody tell them how they should be and how to be safe and how to live and how to be reliant and not think for themselves, not live for themselves, and just become dependent on a system. And you know, when you think about a corporation, you want all the workers to stay working to keep repeating the same process over and over, so they keep producing. You don't want people to go off and start their own companies. You want them to work for you.
Right.
And if you realize that the government and corporations and countries, they're all ran kind of the same way. The government is a company and a corporation, just like the United States is a company and a corporation. It's a business. Money talks, power talks. Mm-hmm. And we're all pieces of that company. You know,
yeah.
And if you start to look at things from that perspective, it all makes a lot more sense about why things are the way they are. And again, it's not to say that there's right and wrong there. It's just it gives you a better understanding of how things happen, and they make a lot more sense, and maybe take that into account when you hear things and when you're being pushed a certain agenda. You know, it's like they say that the best way to lie to people is with truth. They're not necessarily like lying, just not all the information, and that's what's dangerous. But that's also what allows there to be rationalization, because it isn't a lie. You know, it's just not all the information.
Yeah. And that goes back. That's the agenda. Like, they have a purpose, and I mean, I could tell you, you know, you could alligator attacks are super high. You can get attacked by an alligator, and people might get crazy. But I'm like, well, if you went to Florida and hung out by a swamp, and I don't tell you that, I mean, that's kind of what we're getting is the one side of the story.
Mm-hmm.
When it all started to kick off, I had just started doing like the online teaching.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was teaching kids in China as this started to spark off. And I had some students, and they start to talk to you. And they would tell me, yeah, we're getting locked down. Our neighborhoods are getting locked down and things like that. They never seemed in a crazy panic.
Yeah.
Like you go to people here and they seem like the world is literally ending. Yeah. And it was really odd, and I had talked to like my sister, and I'm like, so there's this thing going on in China. And then within a month, we had nothing left. I mean, we had, everything was closed, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, we went to that 2-week thing, remember that?
Yeah.
2 weeks. And we're like, oh, cool, man. Like, the kids are like, oh, we get an extra vacation from school, you know. 2 weeks is nothing. And man, you know, they stopped giving us even timelines.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, that's, again, if you, I think a big problem is, one, most people don't know or remember or understand history. And if you take those things into consideration, you understand that once you allow people, governments or whoever, to start taking things, they don't ever give them back.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look at all the freedoms that were taken after 9/11 and stuff, and it was all done under the guise of safety, you know, and what's best for the nation and security. And you're like, yeah, of course, obviously, we need to do that. But that just gives you free rein to do whatever you want. And instead of giving it back to us, it just gets shifted and be like, well, you need it for your phone. You need it for a computer. You got to get around. And then you start rationalizing it. And that's how you slowly break people down into a system. But, you know, the ironic thing is that works in both directions, good and bad. You want to progress in life. You got to slowly start inching towards this positive thing, you know, start doing things you didn't do before. You know, you don't like jump to all of a sudden I'm healthy. It's you slowly start working there. And it's the same way with being, you know, it's like if they try to do this that's going on right now at the beginning, people would have been like, there's no way, you know, yeah. And the whole world would have rioted and protested in the street, but you slowly start breaking people down. And that's why I think it's so important to be aware when those things are happening, because it does happen slowly and you don't get as much resistance. But if you understand that that might be where it ends up, you might resist a little bit more and not so freely give it over. And that's not to say just because they're doing it, you should say no, but think about it, you know, and like, okay, like this keeps happening more and more, but with, even though there's contrary evidence that says maybe we shouldn't be doing this, or maybe there's more information, as opposed to, yeah, just take it all, do whatever you want. You'll give it back to us. We'll be fine. And here we are a year later. And, you know, it's like if you would have told people this at the beginning, ironically, they would have called you a conspiracy theorist.
Right.
but and if, no matter how many times you say it, you know, it's still that same thing. I'm like, yeah, because they slowly chipped away at it and you rationalized it and made it okay. And be like, yeah, well, this is totally normal. This isn't normal at all. This isn't okay at all. Your level of normal just changed. And that's that whole new normal. Like your level, what's tolerable and what's still freedom to you has changed. And now what's even worse is when you start doing this generationally. People, kids are being brought up this way. Oh. They don't know any different. And that, like, what that's doing to them psychologically, like, it's so much worse when you don't know. Like, this to the you is, this is just life, you know. Yeah. This is normal. You always think about that that movie, that Shyamalan movie, The Village, I think it was. And, you know, everybody thought that it was like the 1800s, and they were, you know, you can't go into the woods because you'll die and there's these demons out there. And then some person like finally escaped, and it was net today, and they ended up on like on a street in the highway, and they're like, what is happening? And fear was promoted, so they never went in the woods, so they could just stay in this village and be safe, and everyone didn't have the outside influence, because that's really like the devil. But once you brought children up like this, they didn't know any better.
Yeah,
you know, it was the parents that knew that we started this generations ago just to keep us safe and healthy. And it's always good to think about that, like, why do I think and believe the things that I do? Am I taking information into account, or is it just I'm being told this? And
right.
Now, if you do take all the information along with what you're being told and you still come to the same conclusions, great, do that. It's not to say not just because you're being told it doesn't mean it's a lie or wrong, but take the information. And if you're still on that mindset, that good, because you took all the information and you came to that conclusion too. But we've lost sight of that. And, you know, at the beginning of this, nothing has changed from the beginning of this to now. That more information that comes out, more like, yeah, how I felt in the beginning of this is how I feel now. I'm not on the extreme side of like, this is all fake and a hoax. It's just, doesn't even matter. It's that this is another thing people need to worry about. This is another sickness, another thing that's going to come around every year that people are going to have to deal with. Once you call it flu 2.0, you could say it's however many times worse than the flu, yet we're just going to have to deal with it like we deal with everything else, like we deal with every other dangerous thing in the world that you don't even think about or never even crosses your mind ever, because you're not told to be afraid of it. There's so many other things out there that are horrible and that are dangerous and that are contagious too. But we're just, you know, you don't think about it ever. I mean, do you ever even change your lifestyle when it's flu season, or when you think about, you know, all these other things like tuberculosis, poverty, hunger, does it even cross your mind how to like help other people out when that goes on? No, it doesn't. And if it did, the world might be a different place.
Yeah. And what you're saying, you know, take the information. And like you said, though, we're only getting a certain point of view is the broad information easily accessible information. Mm-hmm. And then if you go looking for the information, those are the people that are all getting flagged for false information, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, who's saying that it's false information? The people that are giving us the other side of it, you know, their information. So it's hard for people to, I mean, I guess there's just a different type of people, obviously, in the world. There's a billion different type of people, but mm-hmm. there's people that want to be told, like you said, want to be told, all right, you'll be safe if you do this.
Yeah.
And then there's people that go, I'm safe and I haven't done that.
Uh-huh.
So how, like, wait a minute, there's leeway here. Uh-huh. I can be safe. I can take precautions. I'm not going to say that this doesn't exist. This may, but the flu exists. What yeah. happens that somebody stays home from school? They stay home from work. They get mm-hmm. better. They go back. Is that not what everybody's doing now? If they get this, uh-huh. they stay home. They don't go anywhere. They go back to work afterwards. After it says you had it, they go back to doing yeah. what they were doing. You know,
I feel like a lot of this stuff is just kind of like common sense before, you know, they issued all the guidelines like wash your hands.
Yeah, right.
Like
take a shower, guess, wipe your ass.
Yeah. Like, at what point do we just let people assume the risk of getting sick? Like if I have a group of people that I want to hang out with and they're all cool assuming the risk, like why don't we just let them assume the risk? Like if you know what the risk is, then I don't understand why they won't let us just assume it. And, you know, in our private settings, or like if you own a private business and everybody agrees that it's cool, then why are we still, you know, being forced with, you know, all these mandates and whatnot? It's
and that's kind of the thing, like across the board, is if you want to let certain places say, hey, we have to check your temperature every time you come in here. Okay, certain places can do that. Or you have to wear a mask every time you come in here. Of course, I think everybody would be okay with, if certain places want to implement those rules, then okay, go ahead. You're allowed to do that. Just like, hey, when you come in here, you got to wear a shirt.
Yeah.
Or whatever the case may be. But we don't. When we start forcing this on people and saying, this is different because nothing else is that way, but everything is contagious, you know, everything is that way, whether it's this extreme or not. But it's almost as if none of those things matter anymore, none of those things come into account, because this is so different. Maybe it is different, but all those other things you don't even think about, you don't even care about, you don't even question, but they're deadly, they're contagious, they're infectious, they're all those things. So why don't we do the same thing across the board? And that, I think that's what's so frustrating, is you can highlight that, those reasons for it, but you're not doing that with everything. And then if you question anything else, like, well, people need to be free and have free will, and those things don't, but those things still affect everyone else too. So it's not, that's the problem, is the hypocrisy in everything, you know?
Like you're saying, it's like, I was still coaching right before this started, and like right when you got the news that something is bad, I had one of my students was a emergency room surgeon, and so I said, you know, I asked her, I'm like, what is this, you know? And she's like, you know, the CDC came in, they told us this honestly isn't as bad as like pneumonia. They said it's very contagious, but we just have to be careful.
Yeah.
And then literally she said, I have a patient that is terminal that may not make it through the night with pneumonia. So we're not even worried about this. And we didn't have a flu season this year. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. Magical.
So Kurt, like, you opened your gym before this happened, and like, what kind of, how did that go with you? Like, what was the effect on him?
Well, it sucked. I'll sum it up that way. But,
right.
You know, because I just kind of started getting momentum with my gym. And, you know, as soon as the restrictions started coming in, all my people still came in. I still had all the same people coming in, and I had them fill out, just like I was saying before, I had them fill out like a little coronavirus waiver. Like, you're acknowledging that you're putting it yourself at a little bit more of a risk. So everybody that comes in there is assuming the risk. They know what the risk is. And then, you know, they just shut everything down. And me as a gym owner, I've never dealt with anything like that. I didn't have anything set up in place to deal with that. So it's like, I'm in this weird spot where it's like, do I charge them for their membership so that I could keep the gym open? Or do I not charge them and then, you know, potentially the gym closes down? Fortunately, you know, I had enough members that stayed on and I gave them credit later on so that I was still getting a little bit of revenue. But yeah, during those COVID months for like 3-4 months, like my revenue was cut in half and I wasn't making that much anyways. So it was pretty bad time, you know, and I had to go and like a lot of people get the government bailouts. And I didn't even want to take those, you know, that's free money and I didn't even want to take it. You know, I'd rather work for my money, but they almost kind of forced me to, you know, take that money so that I could keep in operation. But yeah, that's just the way it was. But yeah, since I really think now that we've done this for so long, I'm getting more and more people that want to come in, but we're still on that 25% capacity. I'm having to, you know, turn people away now because I think people are just getting sick and tired of all this stuff that's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mentally, you know, how did this, so we get what happened, but like what, like both of you guys, what happened in your mind when you saw all this starting to play out?
Man, you know, I think psychologically it has been the most damaging for everyone in the world. You know, there's certain things business-wise that have been more damaging to certain people than others, but psychologically, what it's done, I think, has been the most detrimental. Like, you know, not people not knowing, people, like the flip-flopping is like, it seems like, oh, things are starting to slowly get better, and then right back, shut down. And how many times that's happened, you're giving people this little window of hope and they're like, see, it was only a little bit. It was only this. It's things are going to get better. They're going to go back to normal and then shut it back down. You know, it's like what happened in Southern California a month or so ago. Like, okay, you can have outdoor dining, you can have outdoor facilities. So everybody spent all this money to get their outdoor thing going, invest in all this stuff so they can keep their business afloat. And as soon as that happened, like a week later, it was like, oh, never mind. You got to shut it all down, you know. And it's, I think that has, you're making people lose their minds. It's almost as if you're constantly poking at people, trying to get them to snap. And then you wonder why people are burning cities down. You know, what do you think's going to happen when you take people's lives away from them? You take people's freedom away from them. You're constantly flip-flopping back and forth, you know, it's making everything and everybody crazy on every side of the spectrum. You know, you're getting very extreme reactions, you know, the hypocrisy and everything and the back and forth, you know, it's like we're getting sicker mentally and physically and emotionally in every single way.
Did it hit you personally? Like, what personally did it kind of...
You know, at the beginning, you know, just not having fighting, you know, and training for me is very psychologically and emotionally and physically damaging. So, you know, at the beginning, I was like, oh, I'll just screw it. Like, I'm not going to be able to, this is never going to happen again. You know, I'm never going to be able to fight again or do this again. And not having a gym or a place to go. Fortunately, we have a little gym at the house, so that kept me a little bit sane. But you're also like, what's the point? Why keep sacrificing so much in order to do this when I'm probably not going to be able to do this again? You know, it might never happen again. And so there was you know, about a, I'd say about a month at the beginning, where I just kind of said, screw everything. You know, like, I'm never gonna be able to do this again. But then I started realizing, you know, even if I can never fight again, I'm always gonna train and be healthy and take care of myself. You know, and I didn't really take into consideration how damaging that was, and mentally and physically and spiritually, how like sick I was getting by not being active and not being healthy as I could be. So I was like, all right, so let's just, instead of thinking about getting ready to fight again, just normal, just get back to being healthy, you know, get back to just moving and working out. And so I started doing that, and you know, it started opening up a little bit. I'm like, all right, so let's just keep working, keep grinding. And it's been, it was tough to, particularly at this stage in my career, it's like, do I want to keep sacrificing so much for something that might never happen again? You know, and if that's the case, look, just shift my focus to something else, you know, but you have to, you know, kind of put so many things on your life on hold when you are fighting, when you are training. You know, and it's worth it when you're able to do it, but when you're not, it's like, why am I continuing to do this and push so hard and sacrifice so much for something that might never happen again? So I think psychologically that was hard to deal with. Like, why keep doing this? Why keep doing this? But just for me, it was remembering how, like, you're going to do this to a degree anyway. So just at least maintain that. You know, and that's kept me a much more balanced place, instead of like getting my hopes up, like, oh, okay, we're about to open up and get going. I don't know if that's ever going to happen again, but just to maintain my own sanity and health, keeping a certain level of work has helped a lot.
Yeah. And what about you, Kurt? How did that, like, that initial, like, mentally or physically or any, like, what did that get for you?
I think, you know, really it just caused a lot of like anxiety and stress for me, because I was in that uncertainty stage, you know. So whenever I get to that point, I always try to find something to do. So for me, I was just training all the time by myself, because a lot of time I split my time between coaching and training, and I usually do more coaching. So for me, it was just like I was doing a lot of just researching and studying different things, like trying to stay on the path that I was on. But to be honest, yeah, it was pretty tough. You know, it's pretty tough to deal with, you know, the uncertainty that's ahead, you know, and like they didn't give you any type of timeline. So it's like it's hard, you know, for me, because I like to, you know, make plans, set a lot of goals. But when you don't know, you know, where the finish line is, it's pretty hard to do that. And it was a stressful time, but, you know, I feel like I'm, you know, at least I could kind of see an end to this now, or somewhat of an end. So it, you know, it's better now, but yeah, it definitely wasn't fun.
Yeah. Well, for me, at first it wasn't too bad. Like, you kind of like, okay, just go with the flow and stay out of the way, and it'll kind of, we'll get over this. But I definitely kind of became, now I understand, because I'm trying to work through this, but I never could comprehend how depression worked. I've never had this. And I have it now, 100%. And like you were saying, when you were saying, you know, this virus that we're not, our mental health, we've created the sickness of depression and all these other things, and so many people. I've never had that in my life. I've worked through shit. I've had nothing. I've also traveled the world. I've never been depressed. And I always looked at people that were depressed, like when you hear about somebody that's a millionaire or a star that commits suicide and they say, oh, they had depression. And I'm like, how the hell is that guy depressed? You know, you think, because I couldn't associate with that. And now I realize, like, because I've been depressed. I gained the whole COVID weight. The gym was closed. When I went back to the gym, there was a comment made by someone that was like, oh yeah, you should lose that belly. And I'm like, I'm I'm never in my life, I could give a fuck what anybody thinks about me, right? I've always done my own thing. But because of my state of mind, that clicked, and I'm like, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be near these people. That's like, I don't put out negative. I don't put out negative for anybody. I could hate you. Please just do your best. You know what I mean? Like, I'd just rather disassociate. So I've learned that, wow, this has bred depression. And then I've learned that, oh, shit. Like, that's a real thing that I'm going to be 46 this month. I've accomplished a lot of things in this world. And it sucks for me because I feel like I'm in the worst shape that I've ever been in. I feel like I have no motivation to do anything because I don't have an association to the gym as much as I used to when I was coaching. And when I had, I just feel distant from a lot of things. And I guess that's what the depression brings on. And so I'm working through that, but in the same mindset is I'm so worried about kids and people that already have it bad. I have a place to live while I'm here. I stay with my sister when I'm in the States. So it's like, I'm okay. But there's people that were not on an edge, you know, or were already on an edge from, you know, economics or mentally, or you could have had a bad breakup before this happened. Mm-hmm. And we all know what a woman or a relationship can cause you to kind of, you know, it messes with your head. And, yeah. You know, what about those people that none of that's even being talked about? What we're doing to kids. I don't really want to go into detail, but I know of a very, very, a preteen kid that recently committed suicide because of this.
Mm-hmm.
That is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
At 12 years old, what in your life could have happened? And I mean, I watch documentaries, like crazy documentaries. And I see documentaries about abused kids or trafficked kids and things like that, that doesn't happen. What have we done to our society? Like, I feel it firsthand, but I mean, like, to someone that's on a downward slope already, and we've given them nothing. We've just taken everything. And there's no interactions. And people are like, oh, well, kids, you know, they're kids. They're going to grow up. They've missed birthdays. They've missed graduations. They've missed weddings. They've missed their first dance. Like, there's, you can't get that shit back.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I think that's, you know, that's something that always motivates me and has motivated me, particularly now, is, yeah, you can say, well, you know, this is more of an inconvenience right now than detrimental to my life, but also taking into consideration other people and what it's doing to them and what it's doing to the majority of people. You know, it might just be annoying right now, but you're not even thinking, like, the way you talk about things, well, just stay home, just what's the big deal? You're talking to people as if that's not a problem. And the beginning of this, like, all the celebrities they had to be, you know, being the commercials for this thing, like, yeah, what, they don't care. They're not missing anything. I remember reading something, I think it was something like 70% of the population in the United States was living paycheck to paycheck before this happened.
Yeah.
What do you think that's going to happen? What do you think this is doing? And that's kind of the whole thing. Like, if you're not going to speak up when it's not affecting you, who do you think is going to speak up when it finally does?
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to say, what's the big deal? It's only temporary. This isn't a problem. But that's, to certain people, it might not be a problem. But it's not always going to be that way, one. And what about the people that it is becoming a problem to? What about the people that are being, just lives are being ruined because of this? And you're only beginning to see the stages of that. You know, like, this is doing generational damage. That people will never be able to get out of.
Yeah.
And I think that if you've never been, you know, if you've never been in a bad situation, if you've never been in poverty or poor or been abused or been in a bad situation with authority figures, you don't have a context for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't, you're like, well, it's not a big deal. It's not a problem. That doesn't happen very much. But if you start to understand these things, you see how they affect not just the individual, but everyone that individual's around, everyone that gets passed down through their DNA. You know, these things get passed down generationally in that way, not even from actual events, just by them happening to somebody else. You know, I read a really good book a long time ago, and it was called This Didn't Start With You, and it talks about how trauma gets passed on generation. I'm never going to get that word. Whatever it's called, how it gets passed on generation to generation. You know, and like people that, you know, have had really traumatic things happen to them. You know, people that are decadent, your kids can have just that in their DNA, and you don't understand why they're acting the way they do, why they have this trauma if that didn't happen to them. And then that, but that also started making me think, like, well, I guess we're all kind of screwed if this can get passed on from generation to generation. How are any of us supposed to be healthy and healed? Because, like, we have enough to deal with just from things that actually happened to us.
Right.
Now we got to deal with stuff that's happened to our parents, our grandparents. And they show, you know, I think they study this. I don't remember how long this goes on for, but there's been some really great studies on how these things get passed on, even without it happening to you. And it was pretty, it's just something to think about, you know, where all this stuff does come from, how it affects us, even if it didn't necessarily happen to us, even just seeing it happen to somebody else can affect you.
Yeah.
You know, and this is that's something no one's talking about. If that was being talked about more on the whole spectrum of this thing, it'd be a little bit easier to take some of these things into consideration. But if you're only being told one side of the argument, it's easy to promote something when you're only being told that. It'd be right. A lot more difficult to convince everyone this is the best approach if you're saying, well, yeah, at this aspect is going to be better, but look at all this too. What do you guys think is the right way here?
Yeah.
But we're not told that. We're not even, and especially if those things aren't immediately affecting you, you might not even think about that. Like, oh, well, I can stay home for a month. You know, I can. Not work for a month. I got some savings. Well, what about the people that don't? What? I don't know. I don't know about them. What about the people that don't have food to eat, don't have clean water? What about them? What are they doing? I don't know. I never thought about that.
Yeah. I mean, the things with, you put all your livelihood into a restaurant, you can't open your restaurant for a year. Or that was your family business that, you know, grandpa and grandma started and it's shut down. And
and all the people's lives that was their livelihoods. That was their paycheck. What about them? What are they doing? What are their kids doing?
The dishwasher's family. Like it's, but we're not getting anything other than you better do this. Mm-hmm. And you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
I live where I live right now, where I'm staying with my sister. We live in New Hampshire. I'm literally 10 minutes from the Massachusetts state line. Mm-hmm. And we're not supposed to go there. Like Massachusetts says, like, no one can come. Like, you can't come in.
Uh-huh.
In the United States, you can't. I can't drive 10 minutes down the road. You can go there if you're picking up food or there's like a couple things, but you can't just go there.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the hell? Like, this is, I don't understand why more people, other than, like, why more people aren't saying anything other than when you do say something, you're crazy.
That's exactly
what. you know, you're the conspiracy theorist. And
a big issue with that is, one, you see what happens when people do speak up. Two, there's a lot of people that maybe it isn't impacting drastically at the moment. It is just an inconvenience. So it almost feels like it's doing more harm than good to even talk. So I'll just wait it out. And then, you know, but the more time that goes on, the more people are speaking up, the more professionals and respected individuals, doctors, lawyers, government people, you know, it's like, it would have been great if you guys talked up in the beginning, but at least you're speaking now. you know, and giving us a little more of a perspective. You know, that's kind of the interesting thing is, like, at the beginning, you really were viewed as a lunatic to even question it. But the more time has gone on, the more information that gets presented, and more and more people, especially respected people, are speaking out. And you know, it's like, as I said, I was like, well, this is how I felt at the beginning, but it's I'm glad that more and more people are starting to see, at least on a small scale, that what's going on, you know. And it doesn't need to be this it's either a conspiracy or it's everybody's dying in the streets thing, that there's more information, you know. Yeah. and there needs to be conversations, and we need to have more talks, and we need to have more, like, why aren't people debating about this? Why aren't we having conversations about this? Why aren't we allowed to ask any questions about anything ever? You know, instead of yelling at people, maybe give them information. And that, yeah, you know, it's like, you can almost, it's almost a sure sign of something's, you're being manipulated or used, when you get such an extreme response and reaction.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've literally been shut down from asking questions,
mm-hmm,
of anything. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, why? And then if you do ask a question, now you're suddenly killing people if you ask questions, because now you're making other people ask questions, and if they ask questions, then they don't believe, and then they're going to die, and that's your fault, and now you need to go to jail.
Well, that's, I mean, is that what's next? Is now, like...
Oh, yeah. I would say without question, that's already happening. It's just a matter of to what scale, you know. And there are a lot of these things are already happening and already being talked about. And you know, you kind of point to the, you know, I was bringing up the, everybody can use like the Holocaust as an extreme example. Like, well, that's not happening. I'm like, yeah, but because most people don't understand how that even started. They only saw the end result of it. If you understand how it started out as this positive thing that was just, you know, people taking care of each other, that you know, we need to isolate a few people, we need to do this. It didn't start as people being thrown into ovens, you know.
Yeah.
But if you bring that up, you're like, well, this isn't that. But it isn't that. But it is what it was at the beginning.
Right.
And that's how it started. But one, a lot of people don't know how it started. You know, they only see the end result. They don't understand the history. And we're also not even taught that. And you wonder why we're not taught that. Or it's not promoted as much. And that's the whole thing with, you're very rarely shown the full spectrum of events that have happened in history. And that's why history continually repeats itself. Because you're only viewing the end result of a thing. You're like, well, that's not that, obviously. So, yeah, why does it keep happening? Because we don't learn. And if we don't learn, because we're not told all the information.
Right. I visited Vietnam, and I went to the Remnants Museum. Oh. And that, the picture of the war from their side,
yeah,
was not the story that we got. You know, yeah, it was horrible, and I'm not saying that's right, but it's the two sides, you know. There is a conflict, and you, somewhere in the middle is the truth to it.
Yeah.
But it's like, when I went there, it was such an extreme of, you know, they hated America, and literally, like, I don't know if you've ever seen these things, but they had, like, the bombs and then the pictures of napalm, and they listed out the names. Colonel so-and-so did this on this day, and you're like, man, that's, like, ruthless. And then you come with us, and we say that we were trying to help, and it's one of those things is from our point of view, we were doing the right thing. From their point of view, you just invaded our country, and it's like, we didn't, you know, we learn only one thing. When you actually set foot in the other person's shoes, you know, you see, like, oh, well, all right, there is two sides to this, you know.
Well, and there's just more to it than that.
Yeah.
You know, it's when you just look at it on the surface, of course, we had to do that. We had to stand up for freedom, and we had to help out. But there's two perspectives, and there's two sides to everything. Everybody thinks, or is made to think, they're on the right side of a situation.
Of course. You know,
but yeah. it's easy to sit here and say and understand maybe corruption and greed and everything in other countries and other politics. And we don't think about that for ours. We're like, well, yeah, but I mean, it happens, but not that much. So, well, it happens. If it happens at other places, it happens here too. We just have a different perspective and we should take that into consideration. That's not saying we're the devil, but we're also not Puritans either.
But I mean, we're America. Don't we do everything the best?
Yeah.
So wouldn't we do the best at corruption? And I mean, come on.
That's a good point.
I mean, if you think about it, we hide it the best. We put the most money into it. We invest in the right, you know,
yeah.
political party or whatever the case may be to get the agenda taken care of. And
I think it's so important to have conversations instead of just saying we're right, you're wrong, do the right thing, don't do the wrong thing. There's levels to this. There's perspective and a spectrum to this where, you know, we need to have more information. We have more talks. We need to have, it's like being, I always compare everything to fighting. It's like, you don't want to do too much, but you also don't want to do too little. We're always trying to find that center line where that is. And we're constantly jumping on a little, you're doing too much can be just as detrimental as not doing enough. So you're always jumping over this thing. Let's talk about balance is a thing that you never find and it's steady and stays. It's a constant adjustment. You're always moving a little bit, trying to find where that is. And that's why it's important to always be looking for that and gathering more information and making the adjustments along the way, not just stay on this side of it and keep piling up over here. You don't even understand what would like even that out, you know?
Yeah. What do you think right now, like, what has caused this group to be almost so militant on the one side that is able to shut everybody up on the other side? Like,
well, a lot of things, I think, play into that. One is just the way that we're brought up to not question things, to believe everything that we're told, to not think for ourselves, to not rock the boat, you know. And there's certain elements of that that, you know, for a lot of people, there's things that are generally good for everybody or keep everyone kind of here, but not everyone, you know, certain things that's detrimental to. And there's levels of everything. You know, if everybody is trying to start their own business and do their own thing, yeah, maybe things will collapse. You know, we need the workers, we need the the owners, we need these different levels of things, but most things are just to keep everyone at this like level thing, you know. Education, you know, it's like a generalized thing, but you're only getting general information. You're not getting all the information that's going to kind of keep you here, which is why it's so important to have additional schooling and additional perspectives. And, you know, that's almost like a mind, you know, school's like a mindless way to just keep everyone a little bit intelligent.
Well, to give them all the same facts.
Yeah.
Facts.
Yeah. It's the, the sure way to get things done, but it's like, you know, I talk about creativity with movies and music. Like, there's a certain, like, I know if I throw a bunch of explosions and certain actors and certain elements into a movie, it's, you know, it might not be great, but it also might not be really bad. I'm gonna make this certain amount of money no matter what. But what happens with I would say things that are artistic is you have to risk failure in order to find that really great thing, you know. But there's a generalized one, but that's what's happened with a lot of things is we've kind of, everything's become this and people stop pushing, you know, they stop trying to be creative because, well, what happens if you're creative or what happens if you try? Well, you might fail. And if we don't want to fail, we just want to do, this is guaranteed right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, I have to take those things into consideration with a lot of stuff. You know, if you do push harder, you also might fall harder, but you also might get farther too.
Right. Yeah, I mean, risk and reward. Mm-hmm. So it's and it's not for everybody, and that's why there are very successful people, and there's people that are totally okay with living, you know, a paycheck to paycheck life, and they're like, oh yeah, I'm good with this.
Yeah, so. But forcing everyone to have to be stat is where that's the problem, and not allowing people to have the option or even have the conversation to do more.
Well, the conversations are the problem. We are missing conversation seems to be the problem.
Conversations and opinions are becoming more and more illegal and not allowed, and we're slowly losing. I think the toughest thing for a lot of people is, if you want freedom, there has to be freedom for everybody, and it's not just the things you like and the things you want to hear and the things you believe. It's easy to say, well, everyone has to think, feel, and believe the things that I do, and anyone that speaks out against that is wrong. So it's freedom for me on my side, but not for everybody else. But if you want there to be actual freedom, you have to be willing. You know, it's like we can everybody, you know, say we want religious freedom. Well, what about people that, you know, are promoting devil worshiping? Well, that's not right. We need to say that's illegal. Well, why is that different? Well, that's a conversation you need to have. Like, why is one okay and one's wrong? Or why is one allowed to be promoted in school and government and anything else? But if anybody else has a different perspective, that's where, you know, conversations need to be had. Yeah. But I think we often don't think about that. As long as it's not affecting us, you rationalize, well, of course, this is fine. This is not a problem. This is healthy. This is, you know, good for us mentally. But if somebody else does it differently, they're automatically viewed as they're corrupting the youth. You know, and it's funny how this has been. This is done. This kind of psychology and methodology is done with everything over time. You know, it's like first, rock and roll was the devil, and everyone's gonna die. And then it was like rap music is, you know, everyone's gonna be killing each other in the streets. Like, there's certain elements of accountability. You know, it's not just because this might create some people to think a certain way. You still have to be accountable to your actions. You start trying to ban and censor things, that's a very dangerous thing to be going on. But. How many times is that done with everything? And then later on, it's like, okay, well, maybe, yeah, we were probably wrong there.
Yeah. You know,
it's like more and more nowadays, I think, you know, because of people speaking out and standing up, it's like with cannabis and psychedelics and talking about how helpful those can be for certain individuals. But, you know, the reason they haven't even been researched is because they were demonized so badly. I think it's easy to point to the negative aspects of really anything. You know, say, look, this is what this does. But yeah, look, see, that person's that way. That's what it did to them. But there's also really beneficial things to it, and things that are so much healthier than pharmaceuticals. But you can't talk about that. But more and more people started resisting, giving a little pushback, trying to spread some more information. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, this new study just came out that these things might be helpful to so many individuals and saving lives. Well, what happened to, you know, that was killing everybody?
Everybody's going insane.
I mean, I can't even imagine what it's like for people that are locked up in prison for things that are legal now. And not only legal now,
life sentences.
Are pushed by, you know, once people start, or the government starts realizing they make money off of this, because they're not gonna be able to demonize people anymore, all of a sudden the conversation changes.
Oh yeah.
You know, what weren't you guys just locking everybody up, and what happened there? So again, it's just something to kind of take into consideration when you say, well, doctors, government, whoever says this is bad, and it is bad because they say it's bad, and how many things have they done that with forever? And then their tune changes once conversations and information comes out.
And the ability to make more money with it. It's got to counter the agenda, right?
Yeah.
It's got to counter the big pharmaceutical agenda, whether it's marijuana or whatever it is. You know, there's got to be an angle to it. to yeah. let it go. You posted the video with Kat Von D this morning, didn't you? Or last night?
Yesterday. Yeah, yeah. Somebody's I don't know if I just saw it or somebody sent it to me. I was like, that's where we're living.
So yeah, basically, I mean, if anybody hasn't seen it, it was just one of her artists was told that he was racist because he made an educated comment about how to apply tattoo ink and how it affects different pigments of skin. And she said she was told to fire him.
Fire him, yeah.
Because now that's what we're dealing with, is if you don't agree or if something kind of gets under your skin, you can be racist. Racist seems to be the biggest word that gets thrown out about anything right now.
Well, it's an easy way to just get well, yeah, they obviously must be wrong because they're racist, and you said they're racist.
Yeah,
this looks like racism on that surface.
I mean, that didn't even look close to racism.
I know. Right? Yeah.
But I guess to somebody that's never experienced, you know, tattoos or whatever, and I don't. But again, and then it goes like, if you think about this, so the person that was watching that and read the comment had to be somewhat interested in tattoos. Like, there's, and then just to go, oh my God, he said that this, he doesn't prefer to tattoo darker skin because the ink doesn't show up for his style. Like, and then you jump to he's racist, fire him, and ruin his career.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's happening with so many people with so many different things.
More and more. And, you know, I would say the good thing is eventually it's like that cancel culture is going to cancel themselves. You know, you keep pushing a certain thing, it loses its meaning entirely eventually, because you're saying that about everything. And as we said before, it's all fine and dandy when it's helpful to you, but eventually they're going to come for you. Eventually you're going to be the racist problem now, or, you know, and they're like, wait, no, that's not mobile. That's what's happening with everything else. You just didn't think that because of the way it's presented and the way that you viewed it. Even worse is, it's like in this day and age, it's all about headlines and hashtags and quick clicks. And as soon as that's all the information, you take that as the word, as opposed to, yeah, maybe, but is there more to the story than that? People can't be bothered with looking into things.
We don't have time for that.
We're just like, yeah, fire them, get them out of here, go. It's like everyone's just swiping, like wrong, 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 right, wrong, 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 right. And if you're not recognizing what that will lead to, because it's not affecting you at the moment, you know, you don't even. I think a lot of people don't even think about it. It's like, yeah, of course, get them out of here. They're a bad person.
And so, and I mean, this is obviously an extreme example, but when I was in Cambodia and Kurt went to the same places in Cambodia, and you learn about the Khmer Rouge and all that. And so they were telling on each other or, you know, saying this guy did this. They ran out of this guy's.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden there's somebody else going, well, you.
Yeah.
And then you're like, me? Like, yeah, but he said you. So now you're what you were pointing the finger at, like you're saying. And this went, like, in that aspect, this went up ranks in, you know, the military that they had, like, to where they were second guessing, like, their soldiers because this guy said this. And it's like, there's nothing to back this, but like you were saying, is eventually you've pointed the finger so much, it just takes one guy to point it at you that more people listen to.
Then. Well, and the thing is, it's like everything is done under the guise of course, we want to stop racism and persecution and negative things, but you got to be very aware of you're becoming the thing that you're trying to fight against.
Yeah.
Like you're becoming the exact thing you're standing up against. And if there's no checks and balances, if there's no conversations, if there's no full information, it's very easy to start slipping into that and not even being aware of what you're doing, what you're becoming, and what you're promoting, because you think that you're doing something positive and you're on the right side of history.
Right. Yeah. Again, it goes back to, you know, we, in every conflict, the person, what you're defending, you feel is right.
Yeah. And if it, as long as you understand that and take into that into account, it's not to say that just means you're doing something wrong. It's just, you got to think about that and you got to take that into consideration while you're jumping onto these situations and agendas. You know, even if you're on one that you think is completely right, you don't want to be just completely solely align yourself with it, that you're not also taking in other information perspective. That's why it's really dangerous to kind of align yourself with a certain person or putting all your hope in an individual, like a president or a pastor or anything else. Like, well, they're still human beings and they're still might, you know, skew things in a certain light or might have other agendas. It's important to take in perspective, especially the other people's perspective too, so we can have talks about it. Like, yeah, maybe I went a little far over here. It's like, reel it back in a little bit. And again, why, you know, when people get that, give you that extreme reaction, that kind of tells you a lot. They've shut their eyes to any other perspective. You have to do this. You have to think this way. If you don't, you're wrong. You're killing people. You're the devil.
Yeah, I feel like, go ahead, Kurt.
What I was going to say is I kind of feel like a lot of times, like, especially on the internet, on social media, like, you can't have those conversations because if Kevin says something and somebody doesn't agree with them, they'll just be like, he's an idiot. And then when somebody else comes on there, they might have had a different opinion, but if they see, like, 2-3 comments of people calling them an idiot, they're like, okay, that's my opinion now. Yeah. I feel like people are much more intelligent with independent thought. But yeah, as a group, like, we kind of just conform to what everybody else is doing, and it's just way too easy, like, in this day and age on social media and all that stuff, just to conform because, you know, you see 3, 4, 5 other guys, 100 guys saying something. You're like, well, I'm gonna go with that person now, even though originally my gut told me this. Everybody's doing this, so I'm going to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, the funny thing is it's like with, you know, parents and kids, it's just so much easier to say, just do it because I said so, as opposed to telling them why, giving them the information. It's harder and takes longer to do things right. It's easier to say, well, because I fucking said so.
Right. Just, yeah.
And that's that kind of method where is the same across the board. It's easier just to yell at someone and be like, you know what, you're not even worth my time, just do it this way. On both sides, you know, that's why, you know, if someone's actually willing to have a conversation, even if they are on an extreme side, as opposed to just yelling insults and you know, demonizing people, I'm open to have conversations with anybody. But as soon as you start name calling or hurling insults, I'm like, all right, I understand, but now that's not even worth a conversation.
Yeah,
you know, and as we said, I think that needs to happen more and more with everything, with politics, with the virus, with health, with education, and everything else. More conversations, more information, more perspectives, more people debating, so we can get a fuller perspective on really everything.
Yeah, like, and another thing, like what Kurt was saying is when we get into that group mentality, and it could be a somewhat valid point, but it takes that one person that you look up to say it.
Yeah.
And it's even that more easy to jump in and go, yeah, but Superman said that guy sucks, you know, like, and it could be like a really good guy, but it's like, we put people on such high pedestals, and I personally try not to do that, but you look to people, whether it's the way that they act or the things, their accomplishments and things like that. And, you know, with those people, especially this day and age with the politics and all this other, like the rioting and things that have gone on, I think that people could have been more careful with how they approached things with,
yeah,
not so much of do what I say, but more like, hey, we need to talk about this. Like, we need to you know, while this was all like, while the rioting and all that stuff was started going on, I couldn't help but think, like, where's the one positive guy? Where's the one positive woman that comes out and says, hey, this doesn't make sense?
Yeah.
There wasn't that. And if there was, they were pushed off.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there could have been, but I don't think it was, whatever the agenda was, it was followed to a T.
Yeah.
There wasn't someone allowed to step in to calm anything. There wasn't. It was horrifying to watch develop. You know, and I'm so far removed from it. They're like, I'm in New Hampshire. None of that's ever is happening in this town. It's just not happening here. It's there's not the right chemistry for it to happen. But it's like, to see all of this happening, I just wished, like, you know, where's this one Oprah Winfrey or you know, somebody that has the power, that has a following, that has followers, you know? That's because that's all we really look at these days, is like, how many, like, if you, Kevin, if you want a new sponsor and they don't know exactly who Kevin Ross is, typically, don't they go, how many Instagram followers? How big is your following? And you're like, those are real people. Like, I don't know.
That's what's become how we view the importance of individuals. You know, exactly. And you know, ironically, there's that Black Mirror episode that's all about that. And you know, it seems like, oh, that's not real. It's just an extreme thing. But it already is that way now on a smaller scale, that you put levels of importance and validity on how much traction and following people have, as if that equates to right and wrong.
Exactly. Like, oh, well, you know, 10 million people follow this person, so their opinion must be right, you know, to have that many people. No, maybe they have a great ass. I don't know.
Well, you know, I try to recognize that psychology with a lot of things, and being aware of that in myself. So whenever I'm conveying things, I try to say, like, this is how I feel, this is information. I don't want to tell people, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to think and feel. Here's some more information. Take it how you want. You know, if that encourages you to go the way you do, that's fine. If it does the opposite, that's fine too. But as you know, like I said before, with the news, here's information. Here's a little more information that you might not be getting. Take it into account and then go from there. Not, this is how you should feel about it.
Well, it's with the news these days. I feel like it's not even feel like we get their opinion of what's going on.
Yeah.
But they're not telling us, here's what happened today. It's here's what these people did today and what happened. It's like,
well, we don't, I think one thing we don't often think about is all these sources are owned by companies that do have perspectives and agendas. And again, that's not to say that it's wrong, it's just to say that there, it's a certain light that they want things to be put in. And that's the same with everything, even the medical industry. There's a reason you're not allowed to talk about ulterior methods in healing and health, because that's not what's being pushed, and that's not who's paying your bills. Like, if you're a doctor and someone has a certain ailment, you're not allowed to say, well, this is something that helps a certain amount of people. You know, it's just like, this is what this, you need this, this, and this. You're not even allowed to convey the fact that there are certain people that this might be detrimental to, and there's other methods. Maybe take that into account. You're not allowed to even say that to anybody. But I don't think we think about that. It's that, well, my doctor told me to, that means that's right.
Well, he's another one that we hold in high regards.
Right. And as I said before, it's not to say that they're not lying to you or telling you the wrong information. They're not telling you all the information. They're not telling you that there are other approaches and there are alternatives. And, you know, for some individuals that might be helpful.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people don't realize that most medicines and things like that, they're pharmaceutical representatives. So there's reps, sales reps. People don't comprehend that you're taking this drug at this hospital because somebody sold it to them. Okay. They had the right pitch. they think that, oh, this is the best drug because it's what the hospitals give.
Yeah, it's not the best because it's the best. It's best because it works to a degree, and it was lobbied to them, you know, which is bribed.
With incentives. there's a bigger profit. There's more to it. It's the same thing as it kind of leads into the vaccine. What do you think about that?
Same thing. Same thing. I think if we just all understood that, people could take that into account with the information. You know, maybe this might be being pushed for a certain reason as opposed to other things. You know, why are certain things being silenced, even if they're an alternative? You know, it's not to say there's other alternatives. This one's just better. It's to say everything else is wrong. This is right. And well, why are you saying that? Who's invested in this? Who does this benefit?
Right.
You know, who owns this?
Yeah. Whose stock is going to shoot up once we all have to have this?
Because if that were to happen, you know, it would give people a better perspective on why they're being told certain information. I put that picture up of like all the politicians wearing logos.
Yeah.
You know, and if they did that, you say, well, yeah, they might be pushing this because they're invested in that. And this one's not getting as much information because it doesn't have as much money behind it. But I still need, maybe I should at least look into it. But now it's not even that. Now it's you have to do this or you can't live. And we think that that's not going to happen. But what's really going to happen, as opposed to like a forced vaccination or forced anything, is going to be you're not going to be able to really survive without it. Mm-hmm. So it's technically not forced. But if you want to live in this world, you're going to have it. And that's, you know, that's why it's easy to say they're never going to do that. And that's just a conspiracy theory. Like, yeah, but they're going to make it to where it's very difficult to live without it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've never gotten a flu vaccination, and like, you know, my sister and her and the whole family get them, and I'm like, you guys still get sick.
Yeah.
Like, you still get the flu, and then you give it to me, and that's how I get it. So I don't see a benefit to this.
The funny thing with that is you say, well, but you don't get as sick. Well, how do you know how do you know it's the vaccine doing that and not just your immune system?
Exactly. And then, you know,
I don't know,
with our immune system working so well against this, you know, this outbreak, like most of us. And then they're like, but we're going to give you this vaccination that kind of almost works as good as you.
Yeah. It's like, well, what's worse about that is everything that's being forced on us this year is making our immune systems worse.
Oh,
staying
God,
inside,
yeah.
Not being healthy, not exercising, not going to work, not living. We're getting sicker and sicker and more dependent every day, I think that was always my, you know, that's always a big red flag, is if the number one thing is our health and our immune systems, why is that not being promoted as opposed to this? It's not to say that this is bad, but if that's not even being talked about, you might take that into consideration. Why Why is that not being talked about? Well, people have choices and they can, you know, do what they want. Sure. Okay. Don't force health. I don't want you to force health on people, but why isn't it being talked about?
Yeah,
why isn't it being talked? Not even a little bit.
At least put out the idea that, hey, a weak immune system is going to cause you to be affected more drastically by this. So here's kind of what your immune system does. Here's how you could make it a little better.
You know what happened instead of that? Be like, well, they show, hey, this guy was healthy and he died.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's their favorite thing.
All right. Yes, of course. Of course. That kind of happens with everything. So it doesn't really give me any information.
My father was healthy and he had a heart attack one day at 43 years old and died healthy. Mm-hmm. He had gone to the doctor the week before.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah,
like you can always say that, but let's say most of the time, but we take like certain elements, say see.
Yes.
And I think that's the problem. And that's when you start to realize certain things are being pushed.
Well, it goes back to like death rates this year. Like everything went down except for this.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've we don't have the flu. We don't have like everything else. Pneumonia went way down. Well, wait a minute, because if you're getting sick, or if you were already sick and then you caught this because your weakened immune system, which is possible, then they're just attributing it to that and saying, no, that's why he died.
Well, everything is rationalized and, you know, put in a certain light, and, you know, and then they're like, well, technically, technically COVID kind of killed everybody this year, because you could attribute it to that if you wanted to. You could say, well, they were sick and they didn't get the health care they needed because, hospitals weren't taking certain people in for that reason. Well, technically, COVID did kill them too. Right. So you could really say that about everything, and that just helps push that.
Exactly.
You know, but that's if you're not taking that into consideration. But that's why everything's so, you know, screwed up right now, is there, you're able to kind of rationalize everything a certain way. But then if you point out those facts, you can't talk about that.
Well, it's the same thing as, you know, they're going to, like you said, they're not going to mandate that we take this vaccination. Uh-huh. I won't be able to travel again unless I have it.
Yeah.
You won't be able to get on an airplane and go somewhere unless you have that. And it's like that in my mind, I'm like, all right, well then I'll get it.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it's going to do to me.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like, if you told people that at the beginning, that's crazy. That'll never happen. That's a conspiracy. And now it's like, well, of course people need to be healthy. People need to know that when they're getting on a plane and stuck with these people. Like, and that's the rationalization now of doing that. And again, do you even know what's in that? Try to find what's in that. You can't.
Right. Yeah. It's
not going to happen.
It's top secret.
Like, that's a problem, don't you think? If you ask questions about it, you're not allowed to. That's a problem, don't you think? No, it's just to keep people healthy.
The vaccination is the golden ticket to whoever has that, you know, vaccination. I mean, you became a trillionaire. I mean, the world owes you.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, it'd be great if these companies and governments didn't have bias, you know, and it was just for the greater good.
Right.
That might be different, but it's... history has proved that's never the case.
Yeah. Every country has their own agenda, every government. Anyway, so Kurt, you got anything?
Nothing off the top of my head.
Gina is awesome in The Mandalorian, just so you're aware.
I'm glad she liked it. I think she's pretty awesome too.
Well, I'm sure, but yeah, I was like, the first time episode I saw it, I'm like, wait a minute. And then I had to look at the credits. I'm like, oh, it was her. All right.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. I mean, you got anything else positive going on?
Well, I've been talking with Bellator, and they're trying to get something going in March, I hope. So we'll kind of see. So there's at least conversations going on right now.
Yeah.
I kind of told them, I'm like, I'm really only giving this another year, and you know, at the end of the year I'll see what's going on, but I can't keep just waiting and sacrificing so much and training so hard and expending so much time and energy and money to do something that isn't happening. And if it is, then yeah, I'll keep doing it, but if not, then I gotta do something else. I gotta shift my focus, so hopefully that'll pick up and get moving. But we'll see what happens, you know. So Triumphant's doing that card in another card in Mexico in March 16th, I think, something like that, second or third week in March. So originally I was gonna do that, but then I was talking to Bellator, and they, which is, you know, who gets first priority always,
right.
So they said that they might be able to line something up. So instead, Eddie kind of took my spot. I was like, well, just, you can do it. Let him fight. And so he's fighting Richard Abraham on that card. And if I'm not fighting, I'll at least be there commentating. which was like the greatest thing in the world when I went and did that, you know, being able to be at a fight and it was right there on the beach. It was so surreal. You know, you forget how kind of healing that is. And just, it feels like you're living again. You forget what living's like until you go and do it. And like, oh my gosh, this is bad that we're not doing this more.
I could imagine.
It was really wonderful, you know, just to be there. The whole thing was awesome. So I'm glad they're going again, and certain things are able to start picking up. So we'll see what happens. Yeah.
You know, it's just gonna, whatever we have to sacrifice to get what we want. I mean, pay the piper. So
yeah.
I don't think there was anything else. I mean, again, I truly appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, my pleasure, man.
Awesome talking to you.
I wanted to do this as the first episode. We have a bunch of great people lined up, but I wanted to get like just something different out first, yeah. And then kind of address what people are thinking. And uh-huh. I told Kurt before, you know, when I hit you up, I was like, look, this is kind of what I want to do. I know, Kurt, you know, you have your business. If this isn't along the lines of, yeah. I don't know what repercussions can come from just speaking your mind these days. And
it's tough. Like, you really do have to. A lot of people have to think about that and take that into consideration. And, you know, I always try to be aware of that for people. Like, yeah, I can just run my mouth and do whatever I want. Be dangerous. It can be dangerous, a dangerous, dangerous time for a lot of conversations.
Yeah. The guy with the long hair that you repost.
The redheaded guy?
Yo, that guy is hilarious.
Yeah, JP Sears.
He's awesome.
You know, he started doing those, you know, kind of at the beginning of this, you know, like, oh, these are great, these are funny, but more and more, I'm like, this is where you got to get your news from. Like, it's almost got to be done in a typical way, even though it's real information. You know, it's kind of like Saturday Night Live, like there's real information in there and they're putting it in a funny light or whatever, but you know, it's like that can really like get through to people's heads that might not necessarily want to hear a different perspective or opinion, or like showing the hypocrisy of everything. You know, I think that's why kind of comedy is so important. It shows everything should be able to be made fun of, you know. Yeah. Your side, their side, everybody's side, you know, that everybody's side has a little bit of stupidity or a little bit of extremism. And, you know, if you're not able to talk about it and laugh about it, that's not a good place to be.
Yeah, you know? No. We definitely need some more lightheartedness in what's going on today, but
yeah,
it'll get canceled. Yeah. So as long as we could get canceled, but whatever. I told Kurt a long time ago, I don't give a fuck. We're just going to say what we want the whole time anyway.
Yeah. You gotta be willing to risk that.
Yeah. Kevin, man, thank you so much. I'll hit you up. We're going to send you some merch and stuff too this time. But man, it's been a pleasure. I appreciate it so much, and we're all done. So
yeah, it's great talking with you guys, man. Thank you so
much.
Thanks,
Kevin.
Have a great day, Kevin. Thank you so much.
All right, likewise. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you once again for listening to the number one combat sports podcast, the Fight Chase Muay Thai and MMA podcast. You can follow us on Fight Chase on all the social media, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, all that good stuff. And also, don't forget you can support us at any time. Go to the anchor.fm/fightchase, hit the support icon, and you can support us for as little as 99 cents a month. We truly appreciate it. Thank you for listening. And Kurt, don't say boom.
Boom.
Oh, it's a big kibosh! Locks out moisture, seals in freshness. Good night!